Good morning, and welcome once again to our Bethesda webcast. We are very glad that you are here with us, and we hope that your time spent with us will be a benefit to you, will be an encouragement. And speaking of encouragements, I'd like to take the next couple of moments to encourage you with something that I'm calling a biblical encouragement in the time of COVID-19, and I'll also speak into our cultural values at this time. Earlier this week, it was Monday, in fact, I was introduced to two articles that were equally thoughtful, but in some ways counseled opposite wisdom. One was clinical and scientific, the other was Christian and biblical. Both are important for us to hear and to process. One was an article by a Stanford University epidemiologist that Yuri had posted to Facebook, which essentially said we might well be overreacting to the COVID-19 pandemic, and as a result, we may be incurring greater long-term cost to our society than is necessary or justifiable. Roger Green drew my attention to another article from the Winnipeg Free Press. It was in the faith section earlier this week or over the weekend, and it was by Paul Dick of the Canadian Mennonite University right down the street from us, which we refer to affectionately as CMU. In it, Paul insists that we in the church do our bit to protect ourselves and those around us by following established guidelines. The bottom line and the bridge between them seems to be how and how much we value human life. For example, do we value the remaining lives of the elderly as much as we value the remaining lives of younger people? At what point is it ethical to make such value judgments between them? Do we value the lives of those with complicating conditions as much as we value those in the general population? In many ways, this is the most relevant question because the probability of dying goes up many times for those with underlying conditions, which include older age. Should we just let them go? They're going to die sometime anyway, right? I've heard silly statements like, I'm quoting here, only a negligible 2 to 3% of those infected with the coronavirus die. Negligible? Really? Would it be negligible if only our loved ones were included in the 2 to 3%? I don't think so. It's easier to think and to speak about people clinically as statistics. If we think and speak of people as statistics, we can get to a place where we consider other values, economic and political impacts, as especially significant and equally significant, perhaps even more so in the longer term, than human lives. How many human lives are worth a bump in the bottom line or a bump in the polls? These are actually considerations that are being taken these days. Hypothetically, as a quasi-representative sample, let's say all of us at Bethesda Church got COVID-19. That would be about 3 of us current Bethesdites dead at the end of that season. Who would like to choose the 3? Just that quickly, just that easily, we move from the statistical to the personal and to the real. When my daughter is asthmatic, or your father is a lifelong smoker, as mine was before he stopped smoking nearly 20 years ago, and my sister is today, we're no longer thinking about and speaking of statistics. We're talking about dearly loved ones and deaths that are largely preventable. And nearly every person lost to the COVID-19 pandemic was someone's loved one. While we're here, I think it's important to note that I'm not suggesting we should cling to every possible moment of life on this earth, no matter what extraordinary measures are required. No, we have hope beyond this life into eternity. But our lives on this earth have meaning and value for eternity as well. Personally, I appreciate those who've curtailed activities and imposed additional discipline upon yourselves to protect my daughter and my sister and my 77-year-old mother and my nearly 81-year-old father. I and my family have been doing the same for your loved ones as well as for our own. The biblical Christian view is that all human life, every single human life, is sacred and valuable. Not for what we do or do not get out of each person, or whether one is a boon to the economy and another is a drain on valuable resources, but because each and every human being is equally and uniquely created in the image of God and in some real way represents his likeness on the earth. I'd like to close with a quote from Paul Dick's article and thank Roger for sending it. It has a cheeky title, Religion Ineffective as Vaccine for COVID or Against COVID-19. Yes, and other things as well. Quoting now, the media is reporting on churches in the U.S. and in other places that are meeting in spite of the pandemic and social distancing guidelines. Some of them claim their right to freedom of religion to gather. Others cite the power of God as protection against the spread of the disease. While not diminishing God's ability to protect, we all know this does not respect the science. Epidemics do not respect religion, and religious communities can be especially hard hit by epidemics when they congregate. No amount of brave talk and posturing is going to change that fact. What might be more surprising is this. Meeting together during a pandemic is not only inadequately scientific, it is inadequately Christian. Our key leaders will confirm to you that I didn't want to stop assembling. To be honest, I still don't like it at all. But I agree with Paul Dick, I think. It's been the right thing, it is the right thing, because we Christians are to love our neighbors as ourselves, regardless of the economics. Or as the other Paul put it, do nothing. Do no thing out of selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility. Count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. That's Philippians 2, verses 3 and 4. Before we continue on in worship this morning, I'd like to ask you to go to prayer with me, and specifically to the Lord Jesus Christ, Yahweh Rapha, the Lord Healer, and Ha Elohim Adirim, the Lord God Almighty. Let's pray together. God, our Father, we thank you for putting us in a day and in a place where we have resources to protect ourselves from such disease. And I pray that those of us who are well will remain well and will continue to discipline ourselves and perhaps even constrain our activities for the good of those around us. Especially, Lord, especially those who do not know you and who are facing an eternity without you, should they be killed, should they die because of this dread disease. I know the statistics, I know the arguments. Lord, help us to discern the times. These are not easy decisions that are made on governmental and congregational levels. And yet, we are called to live both urgently and responsibly Yes, we look forward to the day Jesus will return, or the time that we meet him after death. But while we are here, help us to know how to live responsibly, not only for our own selves, but also for those who need our help. Thank you for your word that continues to teach us that we, in humility, must consider others and their interests ahead of our own. In Jesus' name, amen.